Now you must be saved. Amen. And that's at the name of Jesus. Thank God for that. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning, if you would. Look with me in the book of Galatians. We're going to look in Galatians chapter number 5, if you will. Galatians chapter number 5. And we'll look a little bit and talk about just a thought on, true freedom. True freedom. Let's talk about that. I mean, we talk about our freedom that we have in this country and the things that we understand from that as far as, you know, we talk about being a free country, free to worship, free to do things that probably, and we know substantially in other countries, they lack those freedoms. But aren't you glad that that flag right there stands for your freedom, man, for that kind of freedom. There's another flag back here that stands for our freedom because of what happened on an old rugged cross. There's some freedom that we have because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Amen. Look with me in the book of Galatians again, chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. And listen to what Paul says to this church, the church at Galatia. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, by faith, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? And then is the offense of the cross ceased. Yeah, I would that they were cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you again for the tremendous blessings on this country we live. We know it's not perfect, but we know that we serve a perfect God today. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting us here in this place today, this time of worship, a time to lift up, magnify, and glorify the blessed Lord Jesus. Have your way here again this morning and help us just to be found doing your will and your purposes in our lives. And if there's somebody here today that needs you to save them, would you just continue to deal with their hearts? Show them the way of salvation only through Christ. We'll love you for it. We'll praise you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want you to look at this and let's think about true freedom. Now, hey, somebody said, you know, freedom isn't free. It costs somebody something. Well, as far as Christian freedom, as far as our Christian liberty, if you will, our Christian liberty cost our dear Lord Jesus His very life. Amen. I mean, of course, we all realize that. If you've studied, you know, the entirety of the book of Galatians, and we've been through it before on our Wednesday nights when we've studied and gone through different books and ideas of the Bible. And as you go through that, the entirety of the book of Galatians has that idea as its theme, if you will. It talks about having freedom, having liberty, and that liberty that we gain in Christ. Now, of course, the writing of Paul is this. There are some that have come into that church or that area in Galatia, and they have tried to put those folks back under the bondage of the law. And Paul's proclamation to them is, I want you to have liberty. Amen? Have some liberty, and the liberty that comes through being set free by Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us over in the Gospels when Jesus is talking to His disciples, He said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Amen? And brother, can I tell you, we're free today from the bondage of sin. We're free from the problems of being outside of Christ. When you're in Him, you've got Him to help you in every area of your life. Amen? You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the power of sin. One of these days, we'll be free from the very presence of sin. Amen? Isn't that good to know? Hey, can I tell you, one of these days, these things will be a thing of the past. Amen? There's a couple of ladies come in here today using those walking sticks. Those things will be a thing of the past. Those of you that had to use a wheelchair, or there are those that have, it'll be a thing of the past. As somebody said, maybe they'll all be piled up outside the gates of heaven. I don't know about that. I don't think so. But I'm telling you, you can put it in your mind's eye and you realize, hey, you're free from this old stinking world one day and all the stuff that goes along with it. Amen? But I want you to see what Paul says here. Paul is talking to us, and he's talking about a Christian liberty. And notice, first of all, in verse number 1, he tells us to stand fast, he says, therefore in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So first of all, I want you to see this. Let's say this, if you will. He talks about, first of all, a liberty that is to be commended. A liberty that is to be commended. There is a liberty in Christ that's to be commended. You know, there's a lot of folks that think, well, preacher, I've got religion, and because of that, everything's okay. Can I tell you, the liberty that there is in a lot of those religions, brother, it'll choke you down. It will bind you. It will tie you up. It will put you, as a matter of fact, as Paul said here, he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There is a yoke. There is a weightiness. There is a heaviness that's associated with much religion. As a matter of fact, that's why Jesus said to the people there in Matthew 11 and 28, they were under such oppression of the Judaistic law and the people that were there behind the Pharisees, Sadducees, all of the other, the Essenes and the Herodians, all of those other folks that were there to be their master. They were under such a load. Jesus said, I've come to set you free from that stuff. Amen. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, Jesus says, I've got a different weight and a different system. I've got a different thing for you here. And He said, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. It's not like what's been put on you. Amen? And boy, don't we want the lightest burden and the easiest load that there is to bear? Sure. Well, that's found in Christ Jesus. Amen? So notice what Paul says here. First of all, Paul says this. He said, we are not to be slaves. You're not to be a slave. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You're not to be a slave. And you know, the folks that are in sin and that are serving the devil and serving all of his way, and they don't even realize it, they are servants to sin. That's what Paul said. Paul said that if you're there and sin's your master, then you are a servant. You are a slave to sin. We're not supposed to be slaves to the stuff of this world. We're not. You know what Paul called himself? Paul called himself a servant, and that word is doulos in the Bible, which means, if you want to take it that way, it's a slave. But thank God, I'd rather be a slave to Jesus. I'd rather be a servant to Him than anything else that I know of. Amen? Because He's a good master. He's a loving Lord. He's the one that takes care of those that are under His bondage, if you will, under His control, under His leadership. Thank God, it's a whole lot better than how the devil's going to treat you. This devil, he may promise big, but he'll deliver small. He may make it look pretty and sweet, but I can tell you, the flames of hell are at the end of every bit of the stuff that the devil tries to show and persuade and draw men with today. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, isn't it crazy? You see, the advertisers of this world, oh, they want to show you all the pretty sights. Oh, you know, come drink our beer, and boy, it's all pretty, and we're out here having fun, and it's a big time, it's a laughing day, and it's all. Can I tell you, son, there ain't nothing to that. Amen. The end of those things is misery and death. Amen. There's nothing good ever comes from that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, I think it's all right. I don't care if you think it's all right or not. This Bible condemns it. This Bible says it's wrong. This Bible reiterates over and over and over again that it's wrong. Amen. Here, wait a minute. Amen. How about that? Got one anyway, didn't we? Hey, let me just tell you, friend, this Bible knows exactly what it's talking about. I mean, the devil paints a pretty picture. He'll show people, oh, they're all out here, they're all cool and smooth and using drugs and smoking pot and tearing over this world, and they're gambling and laughing and having a big time. Brother, can I tell you, heartbreak, deceit, destruction is at the end of every bit of those things. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. Hey, I'm telling you, you have a liberty in Christ, and we are not slaves. First thing, we're not to be slaves in this situation. And he says that Christ has made you free, not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I know he's talking about, again, mainly the yoke of the law and the things that go under the law. He gets into that discussion as we go through it. But I'm just saying, first of all, we shouldn't be slaves. Second of all, he says this, we're to stand fast in the liberty of Christ. We're to stand fast in the liberty of Christ. You see how he starts that out? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You and I have got something that we can stand in. You better have something that you can stand in. You know what the old preacher said? You better have something you can stand on, or you're going to fall for anything. And I'll guarantee you that's the way that it is. Some of you will fall for anything. The devil can throw the bait out there and you'll grab it. He can throw some temptation. He can throw some little ish, some little problem, some little thing. And brother, folks are running after it headlong. And I'm telling you, stand fast in the things of the Lord. I'll tell you this, it's not popular. It's not on billboards. It's not the eye of the world looking upon it. But I can tell you this, is still the right thing to do, is to stand fast in the principles and the doctrines of your Bible. I mean, look at that and stand for those things. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. When Christ has made you free, you're to stand in that liberty. Jesus has saved me and cleansed me from sin, and He's given me a liberty from this world. Thank God I'm to stand up in that. Let's stand up in it. We're to stand up with it and stand fast in it. I mean, just telling you, we're to stand fast. And then, you notice what he says, that the Lord gives us to help us in this liberty, how he gives us, well, what he gives us is this, verse number 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of the righteousness of faith. He has given us his Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God if you're saved. Paul said in Romans 8, verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means if you are saved, you got the Spirit of God the moment that you got saved. The Spirit of the Lord moved into your heart and into your life. Now, I know he has more leeway in some hearts and lives than he does others, but I'm telling you, he is there, ready and available for every one of us. And Paul tells us, look, he says, we've got something we're looking for. We've got something. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We have the Spirit of God in us to help us stand and to help us gain ground and go through this life. We've got the Spirit of the Lord. How are we going to enjoy this liberty? How are we going to go forth in this earth? Because we've got the Spirit of God. Romans chapter number 8, you might want to read and follow along in that when you're reading this. And he talks about, Paul, as a matter of fact, reiterates that on just down a little bit further, where he said in verse number 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you'll start living and trusting and looking to that Spirit that you have, you can understand and enjoy the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus because you have the Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes, you know what He does? Well, He'll lead you into the right places. He will teach you the right things. He will show you what is right and what's wrong and you know where the differences are. You just need to keep on walking in the Spirit. Too many walk in the flesh. Walk after the desires and the pull and the draw of the flesh. We're to walk after the Spirit. So Paul talks about there is a liberty. There's a liberty here that it's commendable. It is something that is given to for us to follow. But not only that, I want you to notice for a kind of a shift in gears, as you get on down, Paul begins to talk about, there in verse number 6, he talks about circumcision, and he's been talking about that. Again, that's religion. He said, you know, if you're going to try to live by that law, look what he said in verse number 3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Paul is trying to correct these folks and say, somebody's come in and said, it's not the way that Paul is preached. It's not about the gospel only. It's not, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to follow our rules, our rites, and our rituals. You've got to follow those. You know, there's a lot of folks that think that today. They go, oh, you've got to follow this. You've got to do this. And Paul says, let me just tell you, that's not right. You don't have to follow all the rules, rites, and regulations. Look what he says. Verse number 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He said, those things that they're after in your flesh, he said, none of that matters. That's not what counts. He said, but faith which worketh by love. He said, you've got to have faith. And it's got to be the right kind of faith. A faith that works by love. And when you look at that, he goes on down in verse number 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, this persuasion. This persuasion to not follow the truth comes from this, he says. Not of him that calleth you, but he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul not only talks about the liberty that's commendable, he also talks about the leaven that corrupts. Now, y'all know what leaven does, right? Leaven's what makes your bread rise. Amen? Amen. My wife knows that. All you ladies out here know that. Guess what? Some of us men ain't got a clue, right? We don't know what leaven does. Well, you got to put a little bit of leaven into your flour, and then, again, I ain't no cook, okay? We're making a cake, it'll wind up in a mess. It'll be a flat cake. It'll be a pancake. It'll be a real mess. But you got to put that in there to help the cake to rise. It takes just a little. But leaven in your Bible is a type, or in typology, it talks about sin. You slip in just a little bit of wrong, just a little bit of something. You know what it does? He said, just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You get a little bit of wrong in even what has been taught and what looks right, and you put a little bit of that wrong in there, he said, it'll mess everything up. As I said, he talks about the leaven that corrupts. There is a leavening through religion. There is a leavening through what people think. What people say, oh, y'all don't need to go down there to that church and have all of that emotionalism and sing those songs and worship and do that. You can just kind of go through the ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, let's do this, and you're just fine. Well, I don't believe that. I believe there are things that the Scripture teaches. Now, again, I know there's no rote and issue as far as, you know, here's how you have to worship. But I believe that the Bible tells you, when you do go to worship, it better be in spirit and in truth. You better do it in the right way. Well, he says, here come these in that want to slip in just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit of corruptible material. They're slipping in. And he said, it's going to leaven the whole lump. That's what it does. He says, there are, and look what he says beyond that. Verse number 10, he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment. Paul said, this is a dangerous thing. And look at what he said, man. He talks about how that brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? That's not what I'm preaching, he said. Then the offense of the cross has ceased. What does he say? He's saying this, man, sometimes there is something that slips in and it causes some problems for some people. You see what he says back up here again in verse number 7? You did run well, but who did hinder you? There, I want to tell you this. This leaven brings in some hindrances. The leaven will bring in some hindrances. When you try to stay pure to the Word of God, you try to stay right to the teaching of the gospel, when you try to say, Jesus is the only way you're getting to heaven, until some knucklehead comes along and says, well, yeah, but you need to do this too. That's wrong. But you got to keep it, preacher. You got to keep yourself. That ain't what my Bible teaches me as far as salvation goes. Now, sanctification, that's a whole different process. That's a whole other thing, let's say. But I'm talking about being saved. There's nothing you can do to help the Lord. There's not a thing you can do. I'm trying to be good. Y'all remember that? Now, some of you don't. You're not old enough. But, boy, when we was teenagers, there used to be a song that I can't even think of the name of it now. But it was one of these teeny bopper songs. Somebody said, that's real spiritual right there, preacher. Well, I know it is, but I'm telling this story. The song said, where, oh, where can my baby be? Yeah. Right? Y'all remember that? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've got to be good. That's what it says. So I can see my baby when I leave this world. Okay, we'll get that in there. Anyway, that's the song. The idea is the teaching behind that says, oh, if you're good, you'll go to heaven. If you're good, that's absolutely wrong. That's a little leaven that this world wants to slide in. If you'll just do good, and your good can outweigh your bad, you'll go to heaven. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of little sayings in our world that says some of those things about da-da-da-da-da to heaven. I mean, there's even those crazy rock bands, and they were on that stairway to heaven. Can I tell you, they were on the highway to hell. Amen? Let me just insert that right there and bust any of those. But there is nothing in this world that will help you to get to heaven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash your sins. Amen? That's the only way you're getting in. That's the only way I'm getting in. I've had people tell me, you know, they'd be at a funeral or something. And I don't try to be disrespectful, but they say, well, if anybody went to heaven, my mama did. Can I tell you very respectfully, if your mother went to heaven, she went the same way the rest of us are going because she believed on Jesus. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm not downgrading the idea of having a good parent or a good mom or daddy or whatever, but I'm just telling you, if they get to heaven, it's going to be because they're saved the same way the rest of us were. Amen? And Paul said, somebody's coming in here with some of these hindrances that will hinder people. I mean, it's hindering. He said, you did run well. You were in this race. You were believing. But who hindered you? What did he say about that hindrance? That you should not obey the truth. Somebody's got you off track from the truth. The legalism and legalistic things, it'll get you off track if you're not careful. It hinders you. A little leaven slid in there. But not only that. I mean, there's some folks that say, well, preacher, I'm saved. And I'm okay, and I can do whatever I want to. And you know, there ain't nothing can, oh, you know, all you Baptists say, once saved, always saved, and all that. Yeah, that's right. But you better look back and make sure you got saved. Amen. I'm not trying to make anybody doubt anything. I'm just saying, when you get saved, my Bible tells me that Christ Jesus changes your life. Amen. Paul said, all the old things have passed away, and all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're different than you used to be. I'm telling you, sometimes there is some harmful thinking that comes in from that leaven. Oh, the devil will slip that leaven in there and said, here, you just go ahead. You're okay. You can do whatever you want to. Paul said, who in the world told you that? Where does that kind of thinking come from? It is a harmful thinking when you begin to think you're okay no matter what you do. You better check up. I'm telling you, hey, you remember what happened when the fellow that was supposed to have gotten saved over the book of Acts, and he was the sorcerer, and he had, you know, came to Peter when he saw Peter and the other disciples putting their hands on people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit of God. He came to him and he said, hey, here's money. Give me this power. And Peter looked at him and said, you got some wrong thinking, dude. Your mind's messed up. Your heart's not right with God. You better pray and get this stuff straightened out with God, because that ain't right. There's a lot of folks that have some harmful thinking along in their religious lines. You got some harmful thinking. And all it takes is a little leaven. All it takes is a little leaven. All you got to do is watch. Hey, let me just tell you something, folks. You can watch this crowd on TV and they're, you know, healing everybody and everybody's going to be healthy and wealthy and all of that mess. I'm telling you, my Bible does not teach those things. That's a little bit of that leaven. That's a little bit of that thinking that is harmful. It is that stuff that says, hey, they're trying to get rich. Amen? That's what they're trying to do. I mean, you know, they get the celebrities out there, they get the big shots, and oh, look at this, and boy, they've been blessed, and they've got rich, and all that, and they want you to see that. One old preacher said it like this. He said they come in, they want Johnny Cash to come in, and say, then they want June Cash, and pretty soon they got your cash, amen? And, buddy, I'm telling you, that's the way that it goes. And they want what you got, and it's just to consume it upon themselves. That's harmful thinking when you begin to tell people that salvation's attached to stuff like that. It's wrong. Paul said, if any man is going to live God, he said, he's going to suffer persecution. Any of you that, hey, and if you don't believe it, follow Paul around a little bit. I mean, he can tell you a whole litany of the things that happened to him. He was beaten. He was left in jail. He was left out in the elements to die. He was shipwrecked. He was taken to prison. I mean, anything you want to think of, the list came to him. But you know what he said? I'm still saved and serving the Lord, and that don't mean a thing. Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, sometimes we get harmful thinking from that leaven that comes in. There's some hindrances. There's some harmful thinking. And there is some hating of the wrong things. Look at verse number 15. Paul said, he's talking about, you know, how that we ought to love one another, and that's what the law is all about. It's fulfilled in that one word. But in verse 15, he said, but if you bite and devour each other, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You know, sometimes this thing's got some hatefulness behind it. It'll wind up getting you, let's hate that bunch. Because they're not exactly like us. Let's hate them. They don't do like we do. They don't speak like we speak. They don't, you know, dress and think and talk and all that, just like we do. So, let's hate them. Boy, you're crazy. I don't understand everybody. I'll tell you something. Amen. Somebody the other day talking about independent Baptists. I said, I know some independent Baptists that's independent. The husbands and wives sleep in separate rooms. Somebody say amen right there. That's independent. Listen, I'm kidding about that. But there are some folks, I mean, man, somebody asked me one day about being an independent Baptist. I said, we're independent, or what kind of Baptist we were. And I said, I'm independent. And they said, what does that mean? I said, we don't like people down the road. Amen. And again, I'm kidding. But that's the idea that many folks have. We've got to hate them to be what we are. This does not cause that. And Paul said, look, y'all going to start jumping on and biting and devouring each other. You better be careful, because somebody's going to get eat up. And it's, hey, that's what leaven does. You put that leaven in there, and it makes you hate some things and come out crazy in some of your thinking and in your even your doctrine. You'll mess up Bible, good, solid Bible doctrine with some of the leaven that the devil will try to stick in there. Amen. Amen? He'll try to do that. He'll try to mess you up. And again, look at verse number 11. Paul said, if I preach, yet preach judgment, why do I serve for persecution? He said in verse 12, I would that they were even cut off which troubled you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. But don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I mean, again, you're winding this thing up where you're loving you and your stuff. But if somebody else does it, boy, you can jump on them and condemn them in a hurry. Isn't that horrible? But that's what that leaven will do when you stick that in. All right? So Paul's talked about a liberty that he commends, and a leaven that he says will corrupt. But last of all, look at this. He shows us the lessons out of all this that he wants to communicate. Here's the lessons, some lessons that you and I need to learn out of this little bit of stuff that he's talked about this morning. And that starts in verse number 16, goes kind of through the end of the chapter. But he says this, that one of the main lessons that you and I need to have out of this is we ought to learn how to love others. We ought to learn how to love others. Look in verse number 14 and notice what he said. He said, for the law is fulfilled in this one word. Even if this is it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the law of love. It's the law of love. You remember that in the Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments, the very first thing is you're supposed to love God with everything you got. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, everything. You're supposed to love God that way, right? And then, hey, the rest of it is summed up pretty much like this. You got to love your neighbors. That love doesn't commit adulteries and murders and stealing and covetousness and all the other things that are mentioned. Honoring your father and mother, all those. That all covered under loving your neighbor as yourself. Every bit of that will be covered under those things. And that's exactly what Paul said, that you ought to learn how to love. You and I, as Christians, we ought to learn how to love. We got to learn how to love them that love us. We got to learn how to love them that don't love us. We got to learn to love them that are probably unlovable. But thank God we got to learn how to love. Amen. We got to learn how to love. Look what he says there again in that same idea. He said the law is fulfilled in this one thing. Just this one thing. And it is this, that you love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said above that, don't use your liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love, you got to serve one another. Amen? Boy, I love John chapter 13, don't you? John chapter 13. Everybody jumps over John 14. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you know, all of that. And I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place and I'm coming back. Wow, we shout over that. But you ought to get John 13, the very first little bit of that, and get that in your heart. You know what that is? That's washing feet. That's washing feet. Boy, can I tell you, when you can learn to wash somebody else's feet, you can humble yourself and bring yourself down and say, I it don't bother me. I'm ready to wash your feet. If you remember, we talked about the little lady that brought the alabaster box to Jesus, and she broke it, and she anointed his feet. Before that, she had wept and washed his feet with her tears, dried it with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with that precious oil. Can I tell you, buddy, she found a place of true humility, and she loved him. She loved him. Oh, can I tell you, that's us. We got to learn how to lower ourselves so we can love him. You got to bring yourself. When you come in here and say, well, God, I guess you're glad to have me today. I guess you're glad that I'm here. I guess you're glad I put a tip in. Look at me. Who I? No, 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 no. God wants us to be humble, wants us to be lowly, and he wants us how to learn how to love others. So Paul talks about here one of those lessons is that your life should be a life of love. But not only that, he talks about your life should be a life that's without lust in it. You see what he said in verse 16? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So that these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know what you got going on inside of you, just like every one of us in this room? You got to fight. Your flesh is fighting against your spirit. This is Romans chapter number 7 where Paul says, those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. The things I do want to do, I don't do them. I'm just in a constant tussle and fight and mess all the time. I've got a wrestling match going on the inside of me. Amen? Amen? And, you know, you probably all heard this before about the old Indian that was talking to his young grandson, and he was asking about life and how life was and how you lived the right kind of life and all that. And he said, well, within you, he said, there are two beasts, two wolves on the inside of you, and they're fighting with each other. And he looked at him and he said, "Oh, wise grandfather, how do we win in that fight? How do we know who wins?" He said, "The winner is the one you feed the most." And you know what? That's the same way that it is in the Christian life. If you'll feed the spiritual things, if you'll feed the godly stuff, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll pray, if you'll seek after God and His will, hey, that's why Jesus said, "Seek ye the kingdom of God first," and all this other stuff will find its place in your life. You're supposed to do that, and when you do that, you're feeding the right side. You're feeding the right one. You're feeding that right, that you want to live a life without the lust of your flesh going on. Do you know what John says in his writings in 1 John? He said there's just three things that any kind of sin you want to categorize will fall under. He said it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Your sin will fall under one of those three categories, and that's what attacks men in their lives daily. That's what comes after every one of us. But if you'll feed the spiritual man, hey, the spiritual man can overcome the lusts and the pride, all of those things. You'll find that the Spirit of God can help you in this battle that you fight daily over those things. So Paul says, look, you ought to have a life where you got some love. You ought to have a life and live a life without lust. And he said, and then you ought to desire to have a life that has limitless fruit from it. See what he says there in verse number 22? He's talked about the works of the flesh, what good the flesh can do. And he gives you a whole long list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. He goes through a whole lot of stuff. But then in verse number 22, he changed from the works, he said, to the fruit of the Spirit. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. There are nine things that he mentions there that ought to be produced out of our lives as a Christian. He said, this is a lesson we all need to learn. If you'll let God produce these things out of your life, if you'll let the Holy Spirit work in your life, and you'll let God produce these things out of your life, he said, man, you can be a productive Christian and have a successful, not just what the world would say, but successful in the eyes of God, a Christian person, when you've got that kind of productivity. Oh, you know, we scramble for numbers, and we scramble for monies, and recognitions, and bigness, and all of that. It's not about that. Paul says here, what kind of fruit you got? Have you got some love? You see those things? Love, joy, and peace, those first three. God gives those from Him to you. That's for you. Love, joy, and peace. When you got those things on the inside, God's given them to you. And boy, what about that? That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. But then He gives you some stuff so you can handle others. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That helps you to help others or to interact with others. And the last three He gives us are for us to show back to Him faith, and meekness and temperance. Those three things were to show back toward God for what He's done for us. Amen? Boy, isn't that good to know today? You can have a life that has that limitless fruit flowing out of it when you just simply go in and walk in the Spirit, as Paul has mentioned. And you know what that makes you? Makes you a free man. Makes you a free man. Somebody here over these last few days, we're talking about, you know, coming and eating and all, and said, we ain't got much. But you know what? It ain't so much about what's on your table as who's around your table. Amen? It's who's around the table. Can I tell you? Hey, there's folks who say, well, preacher, our church ain't too big. You know what? It don't matter about the bigness. Doesn't matter about the massive people. We all want numbers. We all love it. We're all looking for it. And I believe that's part of the blessing that God does. That's okay. But can I tell you what's going on those that are in there? Are they in harmony? Do they show that love? Are they praying for each other? Are they there to encourage and lift up rather than tear down? Oh, that's what God wants out of us. That's the kind of liberty that the Lord wants me and you to have in our lives. He wants us to show that love, to show those fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to show all of that to this old stinking world because they need it. You and I need it before we got saved. They need it now. Do you have a true liberty in Christ this morning? Again, boy, I'm thankful for that flag. I'm thankful that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that flag back there says, I'm saved and I'm at liberty in Christ. Amen. How about you? While we stand this morning, Brother Ronnie, if you would, come on, we'll sing something today. Maybe you're here.